Is where we're going to be. Psalm 116, and if you'll notice on your little flyer that you got there, it's Psalms for the summer series, and so we'll be looking at Psalms through the summertime here. We'll pick some here and there as we go through, and so I don't know if I have Brother Robert on board with that or not, but no, he said no. He's already got something else in mind for the last Sunday of this month, and so there you go. So well, at least you'll get some Psalms for the summer, and this one is, "Oh, how I love Jesus," okay, "Oh, how I love Jesus" is the title, Psalm 116, and you can see in the very first verse there, the psalmist writes, "I love the Lord because," and he goes on there. We're going to find out here in just a minute of all of the because, and so I love the Lord because, and then he's going to give us and tell us why he loves the Lord, and so we'll get there in just a minute. As you know, there are some people that are hard to love. You have to make yourself love them. And I'm sure there's probably someone that comes to your mind right at the moment. And also, I'm glad that I can't read your mind. because that might be me there as well. And so a wife went to the police station with her friend to report to her husband was missing. Husband was missing. The policeman asked for a description. She said he's 6'2". He has blue eyes, dark hair, athletic build, well-groomed, sharply dressed, soft-spoken, mild-mannered, and loves our children. The friend spoke up and said, "But your husband is 5'3". He's rude, smokes cigars, bald, lazy, never bathes, dresses sloppy, and he's mean to your children." The wife replied, "Yeah, but who wants that back?" And so there are some people like that. That you think, you know, no, I don't want that back. Some people are hard to love. On the other hand, there are some people that are just easy to love. It just kind of comes natural. And a lot of it has to do with the character by which they are. And some people you love the moment that you meet them. In fact, you can't help but to love them. Well, the Lord Jesus is that way. Amen. He is somebody that is very easy to love. In fact, it's hard not to love him. You've got to go out of your way not to love him. You have to just turn away from him purposefully and turn your back without loving him. I don't understand how anyone, though, can say that they're saved but do not love the Lord with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. How easy it is to love the Lord. Because, and that's what David is going to tell us here in just a minute. God's love for us is never in question. God always loves us. And in fact, he might look at you and or I might look at you and think that you're hard to love. But God never looks at you and says you're hard to love because it's easy for God to love you because God loves you. And so that's God has a deep burning desire for you. And he loves you without fail because he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for your sin. That is love in action. And so the love that Jesus has for us is never in question. God's love is clearly and continually demonstrated in our lives. We never have to wonder or worry if God loves me. You never, regardless of what you've done, because he doesn't love you based on what you do in life or don't do in life. Bible says, but while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the kind of love that God has for you and I. So you never have to wonder if God loves you. The question is whether or not that we love him. There are times when the Lord must feel like the little girl. And she walked up to her mommy and she's got a doll in each hand. And she says, "Mommy, I don't understand." She says, I talk to them, I feed them, I hug them, I brush their hair, I clothe them, I tuck them in at night, I do all of these things, but they don't love me back. Huh. They don't love me back. The little girl, like the little girl and her dolls, illustrate the fact that the Lord Jesus loves us above all, and there are times when we fail to return that love back. We're like the little dolls sometimes. He's doing all of this in our lives, day after day after day, again and again and again, but yet we don't return it. In Psalm 116, we find the psalmist speaking of his love for the Lord. How can you prove your love for the Lord? Let's take a look in verse 1. Notice it says, "I love the Lord," he says. No, I'm going to stop right there. You say, well, we read that a while ago. I know. At the beginning of the psalm, the psalmist expresses and declares his love for the Lord. He begins by saying, I love the Lord. Every believer should be more than willing to declare without the slightest hesitation that I love the Lord. It ought to be something that we have a desire to do. Why? First of all, the Lord desires your expression of love. The Lord desires your expression of love. God inhabits our praise. He's right there, and He longs to listen to you say, Lord, I love you. I love you, Lord. A group of 8-year-olds was asked a question, what does love mean? Well, two of the answers they received was this. Love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they go out and smell each other. Another one said this. Love is when your eyelashes go up and down and little stars come out that you can see. Love is declared in many ways. Among them is simply by saying, I love you. By simply saying that I love you. I need to understand we need to understand that love is more than words, but sometimes we just need to say, Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. When was the last time the Lord heard you say, Lord, I love you? Now, we need to hear someone say that to us, do we not? I love you. My wife will say, I love you. And I'll say, thanks. Yeah, that doesn't go over very well. and sometimes she'll say, I love you. And I said, okay. And I go, no. You know what she's wanting, right? She's wanting me to say it right back to her as well. And let me tell you, it's kind of tense until I do. and so I've been programmed to do that now. And so that's kind of what I do. God doesn't need to hear you say it, but you need yourself to hear you say it. God, I love you. All through the day, we ought to be saying, I love you, Lord. Lord, I still love you, Lord. He knows whether we love Him, but I believe He has a desire to hear you say it. Lord, I love you. And so He desires, but He also deserves your expression of love. Look at verse 1 again. He says, I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Over and over in this psalm, Psalm 116, he goes again and again. We read the word because I love the Lord. Many people do things to earn your love. They deserve the love and affection that we show them. But there is no one any more deserving of love than the Lord Jesus. He has saved us. Because He has saved me, I love Him. Because He has given us His Word, I love Him. Because He is with me at every moment, I love Him. Because He never fails nor forsakes me, I love Him. He meets all of my needs, therefore I love Him as well. Not just in the things that He does, but He does those things because He loves me. He demonstrates His love that way toward me, and it shows me that I love Him, or that I can love Him because He loves me that much as well. Love is a trust. You know, we're kind of cautious when we enter into that love relationship. It's a trust. Can I empty myself over? Can I give myself to them completely? Can I trust them not to hurt me? Because the Lord has done all of this, I can trust Him. I can empty myself out to Him. I can enter into this relationship with Him as well. He deserves to be told again and again, over and over, Lord, I love you. Do you express your love for the Lord? Love isn't merely something we say, it's something that we can explain. We need to explain as well. A second point here, therefore, is you need to describe your love for the Lord. Why do you love the Lord? You need to describe it as well. And that's what the psalmist does here in this Psalm 116 as well. And he says there again, he says, I love you because. He begins to give us the reasons why we should love the Lord. Notice there's three reasons he gives us. Look at verse 1 and verse 2 again. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications, because He hath inclined His ear unto me. Therefore, I will call upon Him as long as I live. You should explain how the Lord hears you. The Lord hears you. I love the Lord because He hears me. There's never a prayer that I pray that God does not hear, that God does not pay attention to. He says, David said, as long as I live, I will call upon the Lord. Why? Because the Lord hears him pray. He says, so as long as I live, I'm going to pray. Because the Lord loves me. He loves me enough to hear every word that I speak. The word heard there speaks of giving someone their undivided attention. Now, some of you are old enough here to remember the commercial, E.F. Hutton. You remember that? That commercial, E.F. Hutton, and everybody would stop and listen because it was something that you would give your attention to. And so this is the way that God is here as well. Have you ever talked with someone and you knew they were not paying attention to anything that you were saying at all? I was told that just yesterday that I got that glassy-eyed look again. And so I'm guilty of that, especially when it comes to numbers and those things as well. President Roosevelt decided to find out at a reception as to whether anybody was actually paying attention to him at all. I'm told this is was a true thing. And so as everybody was kind of passing by, he wanted to find out if they were paying attention to what he was saying. And as each person, came up to him, he extended his hand, flashed a big old smile, and said, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." People started responding with their comments, such as, "Oh, how lovely." Somebody else said, "Oh, keep up the great work, Mr. President." Somebody else said, they the only one that seemed to pay attention responded, "Well, I'm sure she had it coming." And so do you ever get that way sometimes and think that nobody is listening? Nobody is paying attention. He says, "I love the Lord because He hears my prayers. He's attentive. He's got, I've got His attention." And so full attention there. He's not on His phone. He's not on Facebook. He's not, He's listening intently. He says, "Oh, how I love the Lord because He's always there and He always hears me when I pray." You ever get in a situation though sometimes to where you think that God is not listening? That nobody cares and that God is not listening? Understand what David says. The psalmist here understood as well. God hears when I pray. God hears when I pray. God loves me. And he says, "I love the Lord because He hears me." When the psalmist called out to the Lord in prayer, the Lord gave him His undivided attention. He listens attentively to what we pray, but he also describes how the Lord listens affectionately to his prayers as well. Verse 2, and he says, "Because thou hast inclined his ear." The word "inclined" means to bend down to listen. You see that? He's getting in close to you. Let me make sure that I get all of this. And so he comes down to us to hear exactly what's on our heart. And this is what the word "inclined" means unto him. And so it's almost like the Lord stepped out of heaven. He sits right beside him, puts his arms right around your shoulders, and he listens to everything that you have to say. This is what he's saying here. This is the God in which I serve. One of the reasons the Lord is so easy to love is because He hears us when we pray. Most of us can look back at a point in our life when we came to the Lord. We were distressed and pressed down, in the needs in our life. And He didn't say, "I don't have time to listen to your problems right now. I've got a war going on over here somewhere." No, when you called out to Him, you didn't get a business signal or an answering machine. You didn't get any of that. He's always available and treated you as just like you were the only one that He had to listen to at that time. You were the only one that mattered at that time. Tell others, "I love the Lord because He listens to me. He listens to me. He loves me that much. He answers my prayers." Now, let's take a look at the next one. And so the Lord helps us as well. Verse 3. Now notice what He says in verses 3, 4, 5, 6. He says, "The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow." Now you know what he's saying here? Here in verse 3, he says, "The sorrows of death." He's talking about death. We've gone through those times of death, have we not? And oh, what a time of heartbreak that is. And then he goes on to say, and the pains of hell got hold of me. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about the grave. He's talking about the grave. He said, oh, when the person died, and he said, oh, the sorrow, the pain, the suffering, and the graveside, and the no longer here. And he says, oh, the sorrows of death, he said in verse 4. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. He said, oh, Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. And so you can picture it here. The psalmist is saying, oh, it's just too much. I can't bear this up anymore, Lord. And now keep in mind, he's already said that the Lord hears me, and so I'm crying out to him because I need help, because I can't get through this on my own, is what he's telling him here. He says, I need help, Lord. That's what I need. Verse 6, the Lord preserveth the simple. I'm sorry, verse 5. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful in the midst of his pain and sorrow and his struggles in life. And he cries out to the Lord, Lord, I need help here. In verse 6, the Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. He helped me. The psalmist describes his troubles and his trials, his sufferings and sorrows. His circumstances knocked him down, but in his time of need, the Lord helped him back up. Why do we find it so easy to love the Lord? Because in the dark and difficult hours, you'll always find the Lord Jesus standing in the shadows waiting to help. He says he helps the simple, is what he refers to. He preserveth. The word preserveth means to protect. It means to guard the simple. That is, the weak, those that are struggling, those that can't defend themselves. And so those that are just burdened down here, you know, in this sorrow that he's just talked about here with death and the grave. And he says, oh, but the Lord helped me. Huh. Isn't that a blessing? He's a friend who always cares and understands. Another reason to find it easy to love him is that the Lord honors us as well. Verse 7, he says, return unto thy rest, O my soul. Now, again, picture now here. I love the Lord because he hears me. I'm in this time of sorrow, this agony. The loved one is deceased, and we've placed him in the ground, and so here I am, and so I'm getting help, and now he says in verse 7, return unto thy rest, unto thy rest. He says, I have no rest. I can't sleep at night. It's just the agony and the torment is just on. Oh, my soul, he says, verse 7, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. Bountifully. Bountifully speaks of being showered with love and benefits and blessings, is what it says. That's what he's talking about there. The Lord has honored me with his presence, with his power, with his perseverance in my life, so that I can be strengthened, I can find that rest that I stand in need of, that only he can provide. Oh, tell me, you know, yeah, why I love the Lord. Let me tell you why I love the Lord, because he hears me, he helps me, he honors me. Oh, he blesses me beyond measure, even in my deepest sorrow of time. That is the God that I love. You know, he's blessed us in so many ways. You know, is there anyone among us that can say, God has not been good to me? We've all struggled in life. We all have troubles and trials and difficulties, and the mountains seem to be too high, too rough to get to the top. And so, you know, we love to live at the top, but then there's the valley of the shadow that we have to live in at times. And so he's blessed us in so many ways and given us far more than we deserve. Greatest reason we love him is not simply because he hears us, not simply because he helps us, not simply because he honors us, but that he loved us enough to bear our sins on Calvary's cross. Every blessing we enjoy flows from the cross. The cross says, God loves me. God blesses me. God helps me. God hears me. Let me tell you why I love the Lord. This is what David is saying here as well. Love is not only declared and explained, it also needs to be demonstrated as well. Last point. You need to demonstrate your love for the Lord. It's not enough just to declare it. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. And I mean, if I did that with my wife and all day long, you know, I said, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. But I never did anything with it. Love is an action verb, is it not? It's an action. You back it up with something. Because words can be cheap sometimes, can they not? Yeah, sure. And so we need to demonstrate our love for the Lord. So the psalmist not only said that he loved the Lord, he showed in his life that he loved the Lord. His love was more than just words. It was manifested and demonstrated as well. By the way, let me back up here for just one second here. We were talking about verses 3, 4, and 5, when he says, the sorrows of death compass me, the pains of hell get hold of me, you know. And he's talking about the loss of a loved one that was there. And look what he says. And we quote this at funerals. I do this as well. This particular verse, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. David could get to that point to where he says, you know, the sorrow and the pain, the unrest, no peace, no sleep, no quiet, just the agony, the grief that was more than I can bear. He got to the point to where he could say, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. That's what God does in a life. It may take some time for you to get to that point in life. Death is not easy. It's a very real struggle in life. But let God work in your heart so that you too can say, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. You need to demonstrate. How can your love for the Lord be manifest? Look at verse 12. Take a look. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? You ever try to pay God back for all that he's done for you? We try to do that from time to time, do we not? We try to give more. We try to memorize more. We try to talk more. We try to attend church more just so we can pay God back. Well, the truth is, you cannot pay God back. It's far beyond what he has given to us. And he says here in verse 12, he says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? God doesn't want money. God doesn't want, you know, this and that. What God wants is you. He wants your heart. He wants you to love him back as much as he loves you. And so just pour out your heart and give it to him. That's what he wants. It's not about paying him back. It's just simply, love me. Lord, I love you. I love you. He doesn't keep a tally. You owe me this, you owe me this, you owe me this, you owe me that. He says, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I'll drink your salvation. I'll trust you. I'll believe in you. Yes, I'll receive that. And then he says, verse 14, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. He says, Lord, I love you enough that I'm going to do what I said I was going to do in this relationship that we have together here and all the things that I promised you. How many of you ever done that? You know, I remember once I got into an automobile wreck, you know, smacked, it wasn't my fault, by the way, and smacked right into a telephone pole, head on, great old big round thing. It didn't budge. and there I lay there, it's kind of conscious, unconscious, and Lord, you ever get me out of this? I wasn't a Christian at the time. Lord, you ever get me out of this? I'll wear my seatbelt for the rest of my life. You know how long that lasted? Not long. Yeah. How many of us do that sometimes? Now, I wear it now all the time. So there you go. But he says our love needs to be manifested. I don't know why I went there. But anyway, the vow. You know, we tell God, God, you get me out of the hospital, then I'll go to church every Sunday, and so I'll not miss a Sunday. And then the rain comes, and we say, oh, but it, Lord, it's raining outside. Wasn't raining the day I got you out of the hospital. We don't want to go there. And he says, I will keep my vows. And so you need to personally prove your love to the Lord. Here, what we find. His love for the psalmist here, his love for the Lord is proven through paying his vows, his promises, those things that he said, Lord, I will do this, and so I want to do this because my love for you, and this is what I'm going to do. And then he says, I'm going to maintain it. I'm going to do it. And then in verse 16, he says, Oh Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant. Again, he says, he's twice. And the son of thine handmaid, thou hast loosed my bonds. I am free, free from the bondage of sin, free from that sorrow and the agony and the pain that I went through, you know, during that time of trial in my life. And now because you helped me, I'm now free. I'm now going to serve you. Because I love you. Not to pay it back, but because I love you. And so this is what he's talking about here. And so his love for the Lord, he speaks of himself as a servant. His love is revealed in his service to the Lord. That's why I take the trash out, because I love my wife. I take the trash out. That's my job. That's, you know, don't get in my way. Don't take it out. You know, I get offended when she takes it out, because that's how I prove my love to her. I take the trash out. She does the same thing. She does the laundry. And so if I start doing the laundry, she says, what are you doing? What are you doing? That's my job. And so that's how I prove my love for you as well. We're strange, but that's okay. And so his love was more than just words. He said, it's proven in the fact that I want to serve you because of who you are and the love that you have for me. And I want to prove my love to you as well. So it's personally proven here. It's easy for us to say that we love the Lord, but to affirm our words by our actions is something different. Our love is proven by our commitment to the Lord. It's revealed in our service to the Lord. You can't tell me you love the Lord and not be willing to serve Him. The two don't add up. How can you your love for the Lord be manifest? Verse 14, again. Notice it says, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Now He's, see, we had this personal vow, this personal promise to God. Lord, I'm going to serve You. Lord, I'm not going to be shy about it. I'm going to make it known. I'm going public for the Lord Jesus. Now, years ago, I used to think, well, you know, that wouldn't be a great big statement until today. Post one thing that you love the Lord on Facebook and watch what happens. Watch the attacks that you're going to get. Wear a t-shirt, you know, said, I love the Lord, and watch what happens. So, yeah, in today's society. And so here he's going to go public to proclaim his Lord in the presence of all the people. The love that he has for the Lord is not personal, but it's also public. How did he proclaim his public love for the Lord? Verse 17, he says, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people in the courts of the Lord's house in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. He said, the psalmist said, when I go to God's house, I'm going to praise His name. I'm going to say amen once in a while. I'm going to raise my hand and say, praise the Lord. You say, but we're Baptists. We don't do that here. You do if you love the Lord. Because there's something inside of you that you can't keep down. It's this, the greater the love that you have for Him, it's going to make itself known outwardly as well. The psalmist says, when we gather to worship, we should never be silent or shy to worship the Lord visibly or vocally. We should never be embarrassed to express our love for the Lord publicly. You know what I find amazing? You know, some folk can hug and kiss their guy or their gal out in public and not utter one amen in the church service. I know most of us have stood in the Lord's house and we told others we love Jesus, and most of us given a public proclamation to follow after the Lord Jesus through the baptismal waters. But what's happened since then? The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Don't stop them. Don't quench their spirit. But let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Oh, I just love the Lord. I've come in here and I'm just so full of the love for the Lord. It's just overflowing in my life. Said we come in, look like we've been eating green apples or something, you know, and it's like, oh, come on. What better place than in the Lord's house to give Him praise and to express publicly your love for the Lord? It's so easy to love the Lord. I love Him. How about you? There you go. So we've got a few. Okay. So we might have to do an exercise or sort, you know, to build up our spiritual, you know, voices here. And so how can anyone say that they do not love the Lord Jesus, knowing that He suffered and died on the cross for all of our sin? You know, we gave Jesus no reason to love us. And some of us only a mother could love, by the way. Won't mention any names, but Jesus loves you, okay? Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. He first loved us. That's why we love Him. Do you want to know what real love is? Let the Lord Jesus love on you and watch it increase your love for Him. If you know Jesus as Savior, are you proving your love by declaring your love for the Lord? By explaining your love for the Lord? Can you explain to others why you love the Lord? Let me tell you why I love the Lord. First of all, He died on the cross for my sin. He's forgiven me. He hears me. He helps me. He blesses me in life. Manifest your love for the Lord. How do you manifest your love for the Lord? In other words, how do you demonstrate that, your love for the Lord? You say, well, yeah, that's usually what I do sometimes when I'm asked. Love is more than something you do with your lips. It's something you do with your life. Do you need to prove your love for the Lord today? Then why not come and say so? You need to prove your love for the Lord by getting involved in His work? Then come and get involved. Greatest evidence that we love Jesus isn't a song that we sing on Sunday, but how we show our love for Him on Monday as well. Can you say, oh, how I love Jesus? Stand with me. I'm going to ask that we sing hymn number 426. It's not going to be up on the board up here. 426, there is a name I love to hear. Maybe today you need to go public with your love for the Lord. Then you come and you can bow right down here at the altar and you can say, Lord, I love You. Lord, I've not told You that in a while, but Lord, know without a doubt, I love You. And Lord, I want to keep the promises that I made. Lord, I know that You hear me, but I've not been praying like I should. Lord, I know that You're the one that can help me, but I've not been turning to You. Today, Lord, I need the blessings. Life is tough. Struggles are real and hard. Lord, I need that bountiful love today. Those blessings. Shower Your blessings down today, Lord. Increase that relationship with You. I know You love me. Teach me how to love You back as well. What song? 426 in your hymn book. Oh, how I love Jesus. Is that your day? Thank you. trust that you will go forth from this place with that on your heart. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He loves me as well. Couple of announcements. Don't forget, Lewis Brackett funeral is going to be on the 23rd of June. Mount Castle in Dale City. And viewing starts at 11, service at noon, graveside at Quantico at 1:30. And then Summer Social, that's coming up. It's a Saturday, and that is the 25th of July, rather. And that is from 4 to 6 p.m. And so it's going to be some picnic food, you know, chips, sandwiches, ice cream. And we like all flavors, right? All flavors. He likes them. He likes it all. So you can't go wrong. Whatever flavor you get, he'll eat it. And there you go. And then we'll have a business meeting as well on the 26th of this month. It'll be following the morning service as well. Any other word before we dismiss? All righty. Brother Jim, if you would, sir, would you voice our dismissal prayer?